So I know that we were discussing not too long ago the missed mark, I guess, that Audi's been having as of late.
Audi has been on a decline down with all of their new models. I've seen the new Q5. I've seen that new S5. I've seen the new A4. Honestly, I just think they're going far, far away from their, you know, enthusiast brand, if you want to say. Is that the right way you want to say that? You know,
I feel like we've been seeing a trend towards that. Like, I get that we still have the namesakes, like the Prelude, the S5.
Oh, don't get me started on the Prelude.
But I feel like that's almost being forced upon us. Versus,
definitely.
You know, I definitely see that a lot of the cars that we grew up loving were cars that necessarily were not built to be the performance car or marketed as the performance car to us. Mm-hmm. And we adopted them and fell in love with them regardless.
Yeah.
I don't see that necessarily happening currently.
Thing anymore?
But I don't see it currently happening in the marketplace. I feel like it's very much marketed as these are going to be the enthusiast cars and this is going to be your everyday car.
But now they're taking the enthusiast cars and making them everyday cars.
Well, because they're trying to capture the market because they can't sell them.
But you're losing it, though.
Yeah,
Think you're capturing the market, but you're losing them. A Prelude is not supposed to be, what is it, an electric?
Yeah, the hybrid drive, it's pretty much disconnected until you're on the highway.
Yeah, that's not the Prelude that we all wanted. That was something that, I don't know what Honda was thinking, but they kind of, you know, dropped the ball on that. But that also leaves me to I feel like I've been saying this now and every single podcast I've done, cars after 2020 have just gone downhill rapidly. None of these cars are built to last. They're going to last 3 to 5 years, and then it's going to end up in an auction for a fraction of the price for hopefully someday somebody goes and is like, I want to build that. But yeah. I don't think there's many cars that you'd even want to do. Like, yeah. That is 100% a COVID conspiracy theory, but I also think just, you know, things cost a lot more.
Well, I think cars also became a little bit more seen as a tech device because of the adoption of a lot of the EVs and things like that.
1,000%.
It became more about what bells and whistles you could get. And the problem with building something into a tech device, it becomes very outdated very quickly. So they're not worried about...
Outdated very quickly, but also nobody's going to want to modify them.
Well, that too, but...
If you think about it now, right? You get these new performance cars. I'm just going to go and throw a dig at your M3, M4, your G80 guys. Don't get me wrong. Amazing car. I think performance-wise, the thing is awesome. But what do you really need to build on there? You're putting a downpipe and a tune, and you're calling it a day. There's no real builds anymore. Like, I don't think there's cars out there. I'm going to get roasted because somebody's going to call a car out that I'm not thinking about right now. But I feel there is so little bit of cars that you can really modify, and like that keeps that true enthusiast, you know, happy.
Okay, I can see where you're coming from on that. I mean, there was definitely more of a build hurdle that presented itself. If you go back to like the late 90s, early 2000s, and even into the late 2000s, you had a time period where you had to put in a lot more energy and more effort to get out the power and to get
1,000%
what you wanted.
And 1,000%. I will agree there. Nowadays, it's just easier to get power. And that's awesome. It's great. I think it's cool. However, I think it kills that build.
Agreed. You know? But do you think that's going to kill the aspect of, like, so let's say my kids' generation, do you think that you're going to see pretty much most of them turn away from modifying cars or doing anything with cars because of that? And that's the question. Or are you going to still see that aspect?
I can see it starting to downgrade a little bit. I think it's going to be all cosmetic mods, if that, because there's only so much that you can do with these electric cars and these hybrid cars. And I don't know. It's just something that I don't think – I'm hoping that I'm wrong. I'd rather be wrong on this situation here, but, like, come 10 years down the road, I don't think there's going to be kids that are like, oh, I'm going to go build a 1980, a Mark II GTI or something like that. I think we're losing that aspect, and then it comes to the point of what are they going to build?
Yeah, what still remains.
What's going to remain that holy grail? Like, oh, dude, if you had this car, you know, I don't think there's going to be cars that are going to hold the value. Like, for example, your R34 GTR, your Mark IV Golf R, like any of those cars, I don't think you're ever going to see again. You know, like, yeah, you could see Honda's doing that with the Civic Type R. I do really like the new Civic Type R.
Or the FL5?
Now, the FL5. I'm not good with all of that nonsense. But it's a tough world. I don't know. If the auto manufacturers keep going and putting a car that we knew back in the day that we're like, oh, that's an enthusiast car, and then putting some bull.
Like the Eclipse?
Like your Eclipse, like your Prelude. Like, just use a different name. That's it. But the Z still.
They just broke. They're into the nines. You gotta understand. They're into the nines with it now.
The only problem I think
Z's are always slow to get there.
I think the problem with your new Z is the price tag.
Yeah, it was.
That's everything. No, it was. You go and get a fully loaded GTI. You're up almost $40,000.
If the car was $10,000 cheaper, it would have done immensely better. And that's really as simple as it is.
It's just the inflation has gone up so high to the point of even to get these cars, you're going to have to be, it's an arm and a leg right there. How much money are you going to have left to mod?
And I think that's also something that we need to consider with going into, the question of, is the car culture, kind of ending? And it might be that a lot of people are also getting priced out. Like, you cannot go as a young person, like in your, early 20s, let's say 23 years old, and go get a reasonable auto loan for a performance car, let's say, and afford it. Like, if you want to go get a Mustang, you're going to have $1,000 a month payments if you want a GT,
1,000%.
And that's hard.
Now that $1,000 a month payment, where do you have room to build on that?
You don't. And I think that's something, if the automakers want to continue to have a performance oriented or an enthusiast market, they have to bring the cost of the cars down. Like, they have, and that was the key. Like, if you look at the 240, if you look at the Corolla, if you look at the Celica and things like that were popular, those cars weren't expensive.
No, that's all under $30,000.
But even if you adjust for inflation, it's still not that much money, because
1,000%. I agree.
A regular Altima is going to run what a 240 would have ran out of the showroom, or give or take a couple thousand, whatever it is. But you got something that necessarily people didn't even know was going to become culturally significant and become a performance car, especially in the U.S. market when it had a 2.4 liter naturally aspirated car.
Yeah, but now hear me out. What cars are even coming out on the market that you're like, oh, that could potentially be the new 10, 15 years down the road, somebody's going to be like, yo, that's the car that everybody wants.
I think that's really
I don't think the cars would last to that point.
I agree with you.
By the time 15 years comes down the road, all of those cars that you would have seen 10 years ago would have all been in the junkyard by now because they blew up, something blew up, it's gone, it's too cost too much to fix. Sayonara.
True.
Versus these older cars. Yeah.
There's never going to be an EK Civic again. And that's where I'm coming from with the fact that the automakers need to realize that's where their shortfalling is that trying to target a performance or enthusiast market, but then only building cars that you think are going to be successful versus allowing the market to dictate it itself is where we have a problem, I feel like.
I think auto industries have lost the what's the word I want to use?
Lost the plot?
It's not even the plot. I think the passion behind it. I think nowadays it's turning a car out just to see how much money it can make, not turning a car out because they think that's going to be the performance car that people are going to want.
The passion of the
exactly.
The game.
Yeah. It's all part of the game that I think they've lost. Looking into Audi, your B5, B6, B7, B8, even some of your B9s, I've loved them. I've loved them all. I can't say there's one new Audi that I'm like, oh, that thing is hot.
And I hate to say it, it's like they even hit a peak where
the peak was
2019 and then down.
Yeah, I think exactly right before 2020. Yep. I don't think I'll ever own a car after 2020. I think I'm at that level.
We're
talking big dollars when you're talking like your RS4 Avant, but I'm talking about like a car that's under $50,000.
There are still $30,000. Yeah.
Like those cars are, I don't know.
There are exceptions, but then as you get into it, are they the ones that are going to be the ones that capture the enthusiast market? No, they're going to be back to our performance SUV or our
something utilitarian. And that's coming from a guy with a performance SUV.
Yeah,
I love it. Don't get me wrong. I think it's great with just a little bit of mods. It goes. But what really else am I building on that SQ5?
But besides,
I could do a bigger supercharger. Yeah. I could, there's so much I could continue to do. But does it really need it?
No.
The tune in this thing boogies, man. This thing's out. Yeah, I floor it. It's gone. It's out. It's gone. I love it. I think it's great.
Because the supercharger actually makes that sound.
Yeah, oh, very nice. But it's. But also, it's one of those. Do I really need to put more into it? Like, I think it's. You know, I think it's more than enough.
I just think that, you know, I would love to make sure that our, you know, our kids have that same, you know, experience. And, well, you know, I want them to have the experience. That, and see, that might that not be there.
But back to what we were just talking about with your kids. Now, your cars are going to go to them at some point.
Yeah.
Now, if they didn't have that,
it would be,
gonna,
it would be, yeah,
they're
be
not getting those older cars. They're correct. Not going to be able to obtain them. There's less and less of them every single day. So, but again, that brings you back to, you know, with your kids, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
You have your cars that you're going to, you know, pass down to them.
Yeah. The fact that, you
I
know,
don't think if they had that, they wouldn't even be considering looking at any of the newer cars.
But one day Little Doubt will have a GTI.
The GTI is still
sitting there. The GTI.
And I'm still at the point of, I don't know what I want to do with that thing anymore. I think it's cool because I've had it since brand new, like to keep it going and to build it more. But I don't know. It's always, every day I change it up.
It's just, it's a scary thought because I think that throughout culture, we've always had, you know, the older generations that have always said, like, this is the end of it. Like, yeah, the guys that did, you know, had points and carburetors saying that, oh, cars are dead when fuel injection came in. Now we're, then computers came, you know, whatever it was. As that change happened, there was always the people that said it was going to be the end of it. And I don't want to be that naysayer and say, okay, this is the end. Like, this is the last decade that we're going to have cars like this. Because you still have automakers that are enthusiastic. Like you still have Toyota out there who is coming out with cars, working on partnerships with their drivers, making cars. Like the Ryan Turk just came out with that little Celica GT4 mm-hmm. that they did, that they took the Yaris engine, that little 1.6 liter three cylinder, and you know built it to nines and threw it in. So you still see that happening. Now the question is that going to be...
You're seeing that happening with... You have money behind it.
True, but I'm saying you still have the enthusiasm of the manufacturer. So you still have Chevy, who's really into going racing. You have Cadillac, who is getting back into racing.
Great.
But like,
I can't
let's
wait
be honest,
to see
their Blackwing cars are probably some of the best, you know, luxury sedans on the market right now. And I would say they probably took some of those Audis lunch money, especially those cars are absolutely stunning. You have Ford out there, you know, still making performance-oriented cars. It's the question is there going to be anything cheap enough and affordable enough for younger generations to enjoy?
Yeah, I will give you that. It's the affordability when it comes down to that type of stuff, I think. I think it's just the market has gotten so high to the point where it's like you got to wait till you find that thing used. Because once you drive off the lot, I'm sorry, drops
50%.
Depreciating value, that's the only thing you're going to have to hope for is... These really expensive cars that they're releasing these days are going to be able to come onto the market for a very, very low price that somebody could grab it and build it and go from there. Now, I hope I really, really am wrong on this, but I just feel like this goes back to that conversation of, for example, like anytime somebody says, oh, remake this wheel, and then we go and remake it, and then nobody buys it.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing with auto manufacturers. They're like, okay, we're going to build this car. Then what happens when nobody buys it?
They're going to steer away from making that production. I get that.
So that's the downfall there too, because we'll all sit there and say, yeah, we want it. And then when they give it to us, then we see the price tag of it and we go, no, I can't afford that. So now I'm going to wait until somebody else buys it, beats on it, sells it used, and you can buy it for half the price that they would have sold it to you for.
I mean, in all fairness, a lot of us bought, besides your GTI, a lot of us bought our cars used.
To be honest,
and that was the only way to do it
anyway. The GTI was a real curveball. It was when the Mark 6 was first out, and I was like, you know what, let's just buy it brand new. And I'm happy I did that every day. I feel like I'm very happy that I bought that car brand new, because still 15 years to this day, I still have it. If I bought it used, I don't think I would have had that, I'm going to keep it, you know, this and that. I would have probably gotten rid of it already.
So the one thing that I have noticed is that maybe in the U.S. market this is the case, but I'm still seeing in a lot of the foreign markets that they're still having that car culture phenomenon that we had for decades that is that like, you know, especially in like the Asian markets and things like that. You still see a lot of like the Nismo productions, like you're seeing the Nismo Skyline being produced, the Armada, things like that.
But when we get them here in the States, they're called a different car. It's the same car, yeah, essentially, right?
Yeah, correct. I mean, you don't get necessarily get the Nismo trim level.
Yeah, you don't get the Nismo trim level, but essentially they're still the same car. We're just calling them a different name.
Well, no, because like for instance, that Q50, you get a body kit, things like that, which you know, unique paint, things like that, which if anyone knows Nissan, their Nismo models are always the best ones, and they're always incredible. But to not get in this market, I feel like, is also a big miss, because those are the ones that where people do have the money. That's what we should be targeting, versus making the lesser model and expect it to be, you know, glommed onto by the marketplace. Mm-hmm. So I think that's also a misstep in that regard, where if you're going to make performance cars, stay focused on that and sell that and market that as the goal, instead of trying to find a way to make them both, like you were saying, where you have a blend of, oh, well, I'm trying to make a production car that's for grandma that also can be a performance car for Doubt, who wants to go ripping in the canyons on the weekend.
At least three. The problem is, it's just the car is, I drive it too low and then I just smack it everywhere, and then it's like, all right, there goes the radiator right there on the bottom corner. It's always the same spot.
Maybe, you know, a skid plate or something there might help. You know, just something.
I mean, whatever.
So do you guys think that this is the end of the enthusiast car? Do you think this is the last decade for enthusiasts to enjoy cars? Let us know in the comments below. Like and subscribe to the podcast. We'll catch you on the next one.
That was a good ending right there.
Peace.
Peace.